is a little flat, yeah. That poor clarinet stuck up in the window. A few years ago on the waterfront, I was walking down Wyman Street and deciding what I wanted to eat. And there were so many choices. Laotian and Mexican and Southern and Midwestern. And I could get chicken strips or pad thai, tacos, barbecue or wontons, a half a dozen other things. The foods were being sold by various community groups, including churches, and there was a bit of a line at each option, and I could choose all these different things. And I recall this moment with total clarity. Standing there, I had this overwhelming feeling of patriotism. This is America, I thought. Here, right now, this diversity, this beauty, this aspiration, this is America. A dream, a hope, a destination, a place where for a few hundred years folks have come to build a life and have made richer the common life with their energy and their presence. Standing there, a little hungry, my feet worn, and enjoying the sun and the music, I was deeply and profoundly moved. Grateful to live in this country, to live in this time. Look, I'm not naive and I'm not ignorant. Other countries like Canada and Britain and a few others also have lots of immigration and celebrate the diversity among them. And the struggle for inclusion, the struggle for decency has often been very difficult. It has often been deadly and violent. First of all, for those already here, for the indigenous people, and also for those brought here by force over the Middle Passage, and those who came later, the Irish, the Italians, the Chinese, and the Latin American, who welcomed for their labor but denied full inclusion for a generation or more. There's been a lot of blood spilt to make that reality, this reality. Those food booths lined up on a mid-sized Midwestern city to make that possible. This struggle, the fight, generation after generation, being aware of it, of what has happened, made that patriotic moment all the sweeter, more majestic and meaningful. I felt the same way Tuesday night. Seeing the camera pan the crowd at McCormick Place, waiting for the speeches up way past my bedtime, I felt the same way. This is America. Faces of so many shades and hues. A young hipster in a hat and a loose tie and a battered jacket stands next to a proud, middle-aged black woman, steely determination on her face. A Latina teenager moves to the music, and a 50-something white man in a suit and a tie, not loose tie, tight, smiles and sings along. It's America. It's shades and colors and glorious diversity. I'm not naive, and I'm not ignorant. This is a struggle. The proud, steely face captures it best. The journey is not for the fair weather fan. In the letter from the Birmingham jail, Dr. King wrote that we know from painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. I'm not naive and I'm not ignorant, so don't you be that way either. It's hard work. Tuesday night, Bill O'Reilly said that the white establishment is now the minority and that it's not a traditional America anymore. Now he's right. The white establishment, if you mean white men over 40, that group that's used to being in charge of everything, that group that is still most of Congress, most CEOs, most of the wealth, most of the pundits too, yes, that group, they are now clearly and decisively the minority. But to Bill O'Reilly's claim that it is not traditional America anymore, well, I think the proper rejoinder is from the great poet Langston Hughes. America never was America to me. Oh, yes, wrote Hughes. Oh, yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me. And yet I swear this oath America will be. Out of the rack and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft and stealth and lies, we the people must redeem the lands, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains, and the endless plain. All the stretch of these great green states, and make America again. Well said. I rejoice. I rejoice in the changing country. I worry about the backlash, because it's not over. I'm not even sure it's begun yet. But all we have to do is hold on. In Arizona this week, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, his department engages in dehumanizing racially oppressive practices. He was reelected as sheriff of his county. I've been to Arizona a couple times to protest what he does there and what's happening in that state. But this is the voter breakdown for the whole state of Arizona for Tuesday by party. And you can see by race on your right and by age on your left that an older white population is being replaced year after year by a young Latino population. In fact, hundreds of thousands of ballots were cast in Arizona on Tuesday that were cast provisionally because civil rights groups made a huge voter registration push over the summer, and people signed up to get their ballots at home that they could mail in, but they didn't get them for some strange reason, or they showed up at the polling place and, oh, your registration must not have been processed properly. You'll have to fill out a provisional ballot. They're still counting those ballots. We need to make sure that they get counted. But you look at those numbers, and the only question is when Arizona will flip, and when will Texas follow? I'm not naive and I'm not ignorant, but I am hopeful. If we who love, who stand on the side of love, if we stand up for inclusion and we see diversity as beautiful and we hold fast, then the backlash will burn itself out, maybe quickly even. And reasonable Republicans will move to the center on immigration. It's already happening this week. And they'll move to the center on gay rights and on a few other issues. And then, well, hallelujah. This is what I want. Both major parties in this country to treat immigrants with dignity. Both major parties in this country to treat gay families and gay people equally. We can debate all day long the size of government, the appropriate amount of taxes, and all that. We should, robust debates. But I don't want to debate anymore about whether my friends have dignity. I don't want my friends to have to go through another night of wondering whether their friends and their neighbors will affirm their family, will allow their family to be treated like any other family under the law. I don't want any group of people to be used as a wedge or a prop. Let's be done with that. We're getting there. Gay rights supporters had four huge victories this week in Washington State and Maine and Maryland. Voters ratified the decisions of local legislators to recognize gay and lesbian marriages as equal under state law. In Minnesota, voters rejected an attempt to put a ban on such recognition into the state constitution. Unitarian Universalists led the fight in all four states. In Minnesota, we helped organize the Interfaith Coalition. In Maryland, we told the stories of families and made their lives real. In Maine, it was these small, rural, old Universalist churches that did the legwork, that talked to their neighbors and got the state to change its mind in just 3 years. In Washington, we did all of these things and more, and we won. It's great. And you can look at the numbers among younger Americans, and what Andrew Sullivan wrote is true. This was a watershed week for gay rights supporters. Unitarian Universalists endorsed an equal right to marry in 1996, 16 years ago. Back then, we were basically it. Nobody else was on board. And now, it's all over but the shouting. The tide has turned. And whether it's by court or by ballot, I predict that gay and lesbian marriages will be equal under the law in all 50 states within the decade. I'm sure of it. I'm not naive, and I'm not ignorant. We're going to win the marriage fight, but that's not all there is. Churches and community groups all around the world are marking Transgender Day of Remembrance this month, a time to remember all those who have been harmed by violence against transgender persons. It's a worldwide event seeking both to memorialize the dead and to work toward reducing the transphobia and the hatred for both self and others which causes such violence. A transgender person is killed by violence every 3 days worldwide, and there is much work to do. Too much blood has been spilt. But we know that when we work with faith and with dedication, we can step by step march toward that new future. We know what the path looks like. People come out, we tell stories, we make people real, we reduce the fear, we stand up for love. New Hampshire elected a transgender state legislator this week, and we are making progress. So what's next? In this new America and here, right here where we live in this place, what's next? Being president, as Duck found out, is hard work. You can't do it by yourself. Folks who want certain outcomes, a different approach to this or that, need to organize with others to make it happen. Don't expect the president just to do it. That's not how he works, and that's not how our system is designed. Folks have to agitate and organize. And we do need to work on our election system to protect the right to vote and get more folks to pay attention to off-year midterms and so on. 3- and 4- and 7-hour voter lines are a form of voter suppression. And the state of Florida and the state of Arizona should frankly have their election systems taken over by the federal government. There's lots more we could talk about there. But to me, the more important stuff is the stuff that's closer to home. In all the talk of the national results, I had to hunt around to find statewide results on Tuesday night. The Illinois Democrats had huge victories in the state House and the state Senate because Michael Madigan had redrawn the lines in suburban Chicago in order to make that happen, and now has a veto-proof majority, which allows him to bypass the governor if he wants to. So expect to see some things happen fast. And if past history is any guide, with very little public notice or discussion, the pension fight goes on, so does the gambling fight. In the next few months, you're going to be hearing more about an attempt to amend the Illinois Constitution to allow a graduated income tax as a way to fix our structural deficit and provide services without raising taxes on most of the state's residents. Expect a big fight. It's coming. Even closer to home, this church made the decision to put our social justice energy behind working for racial justice and public education. So I played a small part in supporting the school bond referendum, which passed overwhelmingly here in Rockford, a sign of confidence and support for the schools. That's good. There will be a school board election in April, as well as a mayoral election and aldermen too. And the decisions that these local leaders will make matter just as much as the big national ones. Yet many races will go uncontested and uncovered. Let's pledge not to let that happen. Let's get involved and pay attention. My particular focus is around the schools, and we have work to do. We need school board members who are drama-free, professional folks focused on what is best for kids first, the community at large second, and not on their own personal agendas, whatever they might be. We need to guard carefully, very carefully, in these local elections against one faction or one person using their outsized wealth to purchase the loyalty of public servants, for they are trying to do so. We need to ensure that ongoing reforms and improvements benefit everyone, East and West, rich and poor, abstract wizards and hands-on geniuses. This is our work, not just mine, yours too. I hope that we can demonstrate something that Rockford seems to be lacking: responsible civic engagement. That we individually and collectively, that we will speak temperately, back up our work with service, be a responsible critic when necessary, and most of all, act out of our vision for a better world. Act out of our hope and our love, and not, as some seem to do, out of bitterness and fear. All this is to say the work continues. The work of building a world of many colors, all dancing together, loving each other, marching together. The work of building the America that can be. The work of redeeming the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains, and the endless plain. All the stretch of these great green states, that work continues. Elections are moments of clarity, and they matter. But the day-to-day, neighbor-to-neighbor work of sharing ideas, of research and advocacy, of conversation and conversion, this is what matters most. We would never have won Minnesota and Maine, Washington and Maryland if folks hadn't come out of the closet, shown through their lives that their love was real and true. I doubt that we would have had the conversation about income inequality that we have had in the last year if the Occupy movement hadn't raised it in the streets and the meeting rooms. I'm convinced that we are going to get comprehensive immigration reform in the next 2 years. At the rate they're talking, it might be next week. And that's not because of work in Washington. It's because of Dreamers, students telling their stories. And it's because of Unitarian Universalists and Quakers and Catholics reminding people of faith of their duty to love the stranger in their midst. I could go on, and whatever issue you care about, climate, jobs, choice, education, peace, don't try first to win elections. That's too late. Try to win hearts. Do the work every day. Share, talk, tell stories. Let your love for the world shine through your living. And lead by example more than by word. Lead with your love. Without it, we might clamor for power, and we might even have some short-lived victories, but we will not change the world, not without love. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I believe that line of Christian teaching, and so let us ensure that we put our hearts in the right place, that our treasure, our work, our time, our lives shall follow. Then, however the next election goes, and the one after that, and after that, we can say with confidence that we loved well, that we were faithful to our highest ideals, that we included until all were welcomed, and that we, when the story is finished, can be said, can be sung, we stood on the side of love. I invite you to rise in body or spirit. Let us sing together.